Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. God is good. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, said this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, beloved and longed for, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Evidently, they had a few problems. Them ladies did. Don't know what that was about. "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." My, my, my. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. And let us learn together today to this thing about being content. And learn to trust you and to lean on you and to know that everything is going to be all right. Because we have Christ. We have eternal life. Thanks to your precious love and mercy and your grace and your precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Hold me up by the power of your might today, Lord. Thank you for the good heartfelt singing, Lord. Thank you for all those who have chosen to come to church this morning and put themselves under the preaching and the teaching of God's holy word. Bless each house represented here today, Lord. We pray for the sick among us, Lord, that you'd bring healing, Lord, and comfort to all those in need. Help us to know your word and to know your precious son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. All right, we look here at the Apostle Paul. He's content both to abound and to suffer need. Then he qualifies it by saying that I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So Paul is saying here that the way that he is able to do this, the way he is able to get through being down as well as being up, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the way he gets through that is through Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the way that he is able to find contentment in all this was through Jesus Christ. Now the apostle found that he had to learn some things. A lot of things don't come naturally for the Christian. You have to learn them. You have to learn some things. That's why we have Sunday school this morning, why you have teaching, that you might learn about the Lord. I remember at Lighthouse years ago, we used to sing the song, "More About Jesus, What I Know." So we have to learn some things. Contentment is something Paul had to learn. Contentment is something that you and I, as children of God, must learn. And for most people, you know, contentment is a rare gem. You don't find contentment every day. It's a rare gem found only in the person of Jesus Christ. Brother Phil in Sunday school told us, read this morning, where we live in perilous times. We certainly do. A time when we have a new generation of America that for the most part have forgotten God. They've forgotten God. We have allowed Pharaoh to turn an entire generation of young people into the servants of Egypt. What's that about? They riot, they plunder, they champion all the things of Egypt that God says is abomination. Self-serving, self-gratifying, self-indulging, self-centered. The Bible says, ever learning. In 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Traitors, It says in 2 Timothy 3:4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. A generation of takers. How have we come to this point? We live among a generation of takers. They see themselves as empowered by godless universities to take your freedoms. Championed by a press and elitist media intent on bringing in a world without truth and without Jesus Christ. They hate your freedom. They hate freedom of thought and freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom to serve God. They don't want you doing that. They're trying to tear down statues of Jesus Christ. Pharaoh once told Moses, "Who is the Lord that I should serve him? I know not the Lord." That's a generation that we're seeing in action around us today. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." The schools in Egypt have taught your children that you are a racist, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, a homophobe, a bigot. The schools in Egypt have taught your children that America's heroes are not heroes at all, but villains. That's what the universities are teaching this generation of young people. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Proverbs 30, 12 said, "There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." Says in verse 13, "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." Hey, what happened to the generation of peaceniks? Hey, when I was in college, man, it was peace, brother. What's it all mean, man? Peace. Man, that is it. Man, I'd sit around, there's a big lake in Miami-Dade Community College there in Miami, Florida, and a big lake, and I'd sit there strumming my guitar with all them good-looking hippie girls, just kind of, man, I kind of like those days. I better hush. Let me move on here. Hey, we're seeing a generation playing out for us. It says in Proverbs 30, 14, "There's a generation whose teeth are as swords." Not peaceniks anymore. There's a generation that is vicious. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We're seeing this generation playing out for us today of what an ungodly mess we see in our inner cities around us. But I'm here to bring some good news, offer a solution this morning. You can let Egypt stress you out if you want to. You can let Pharaoh's crowd take your joy. You can let Pharaoh's crowd take your peace and your song and your contentment. Or you can learn, as the Apostle Paul did, to be content no matter what Egypt has up its sleeve. One of my favorite verses I remember reading when I was a city policeman in Miami, Florida. It said, "If thou seest the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter." God says, marvel not, for he that is higher regardeth also, and there be higher than they. God knows what's going on. God sees it all. It didn't catch God by surprise. None of that stuff caught God by surprise. But Paul, here he's content both to abound and to suffer need. And no matter what adversity that Paul was going through because of Christ, he had learned that whatever state that he was in, there was to be content. And you think you've had it rough? You know what Paul said? 2 Corinthians 11:24. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Can you imagine that? And he said, I've learned to be content in all that. He had been through it all. You know what the opposite of being content is? The Bible uses a word called disquieted. Oh my, why art thou disquieted, oh my soul? And disquieted within me, discontentment, troubled. You just can't rest. You can't relax because you're disquieted because of all the craziness around you. So you need to learn to lean and to trust and to yield and submit to Jesus Christ. David said in Psalms 57:2, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. You need to give up on yourself. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Paul learned to be content with the good, the bad, and the ugly. What was Job said? I forget how the verse goes, but in so many words, Job said, I think talking to his wife, he said, shall we not receive kind of the blessings from God? If we receive the blessings from God, shouldn't we receive the adversity too? I mean, We accept the good things from God, but we just won't stand for things that God allows to come into our life. One night, Paul and Silas, they were preaching in Macedonia. Preaching in Macedonia, Acts 16 says that Paul commanded a spirit of divination to come out of a woman, and after that, man, the crowd grabbed him. They liked to beat him to death. Both of them, Paul and Silas, threw them in jail. Man, they had their feet in stocks. I mean, these preachers were having a bad night. They were cuffed and stuffed and tased and amazed, beaten, bruised, their feet in stock. They had it rough, and if you've ever been in jail, you know what he's talking about. Nobody's admitting to anything in this crowd. All right. Man, that's a cold system. Can you imagine that? That's a cold system. A lot of places you go in to visit somebody in jail, and they'll make you feel like you ought to be in there with them. Man, it's just a cold system. Man, it's colder than your ex-wife's breath. Man, it's cold. Now, should I have said that, Brother Phil? Is that politically incorrect? Anyway, it's cold and lonely in that system. So here's Paul and Silas, and they'd both been through it. Now they ended up in jail. It says in verse 22, the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. I'd say they had a lot to complain about. They were having a bad time. They were in the old days, they'd say, man, I'm going through some changes. Today they say, man, the struggle was real. Man, the struggle was real for Paul and Silas here. If anybody should be discouraged, it should have been Paul and Silas. But if you turn to Acts 16, if you want to, they didn't call the ACLU. They didn't call Bob's Bail Bonds or Jesse Jackson or Al Not So Sharpton. They didn't call that crowd. Down around verse 25, it says all of a sudden around midnight, the prisoners began to hear something going on. What's that down the hall? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hey, shut up down there. Hey, we're trying to get some sleep. Can you imagine that? After everything that had happened to them, they were praying and singing praises unto God. In jail. Wow. How in the world could they do that? Why? Because Paul said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You got to learn it. Don't come natural. Got to let God teach you some things. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember when Paul was a prisoner one time out on a ship, He's out on a ship on the way to Italy, and they pass by a little island of Crete. I don't know how it's pronounced. A huge storm came up. They called it Euryclide, man. If you talk about a storm, they all knew they were going to die, man. The old sauce, those old Navy men, in Acts 28 and verse 20, it says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. There's no hope for that crowd. The commercial fishermen, they knew they were going to die. And naturally speaking, they were right. From the natural standpoint, they were right. They didn't have a chance. But then this little Jew walks up and he says in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Be of good cheer. What's he talking about? Man, can't you see what's going on, man? They're rioting in the cities. They're burning down buildings, man. They're trying to burn down statues of Jesus. Man, everything in the world. And you expect me to be of good cheer? Yeah. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. These things have I spoken to you. The Lord said that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Paul could be of good cheer because he believed God. He could be of good cheer because he knew that he could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. He could be of good cheer because he had learned in whatever state he was to be content. You know, our problem is we haven't learned that lesson. But God wants you to learn it and to know it, that everything's going to be all right. If you're a Christian, everything's going to be all right. A preacher over here at Hoosier Hills Camp one night said that he saw a bumper sticker that read, stop global whining. Whining. We become whiners, I think. Hey, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. My. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is going to get you through it. Well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I know what Paul went through. I know what I've gone through. I know what others have been through. We not only have trouble of finding contentment in adversity, but many times we can't even be content when God is supplying our needs. A lot of us, most probably all of us sitting here today, the life that we're living, if we've got a home to go to, we've got a place to, a roof over our head tonight, we've got a bed to sleep in, we've got food in the refrigerator. To a big part of the world, that's a fairy tale. A fairy tale. What are we studying about? Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Paul said, food and raiment. You ought to be content with that. Paul told Timothy, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let your conversation be without, he told Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. You got to learn that. You've got to learn that. James said, you lust and have not, you kill. And desire to have it, you cannot obtain. You fight and war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust. Do you think, he said, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth in? Hey, remember the children of Israel? God was supplying supernaturally their every need. And there's always looking back. We want better. We don't like what's going on. Hey, you've got it pretty well. You got a car to drive, you're way ahead of the crowd. It's been a while since I've gone hungry. If I have, it's been for 3 or 4 hours. I'm starting a new diet. Whew. I dread it. Children of Israel said, oh, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely. Always looking back to Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Are we like, is there ever a point in our lives where we say, I've got enough. I'm satisfied, Lord, with your grace. I'm satisfied with the fact that you died for my wretched, sinful soul. And Lord, that's good enough for me. You tell me that all things work for good to them that love God and to them are the called according to his purpose. It's okay, Lord. I know that you love me, Lord. I know that I love you, Lord, and you promised me that everything was going to be okay. I have not seen or ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. My. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come. Whenever we can learn to reach that point, then and only then will we be able to understand how Paul was able to face all that he had to face with grace, with peace, and with contentment. He once said of his troubles in 2 Corinthians 11, said in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times. He talks about all the things. 5 times he received, 5 times received I 40 stripes. Man, he went through it all. You're going to go through some valleys. But remember that you're going through them. You're not there to stay. You're going to come out on the other side. You've got to have to learn to understand that Egypt's always going to be around you. You look at Israel, they're surrounded by their enemies. Every way they turn, they have their enemies around them. We as a church are becoming surrounded by the enemies of Egypt. All these worldly things. It's hard not to join them. But the Lord told the children of Israel, coming out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Receive not the touch not the unclean things, that I'll receive you. I thank God that I live in the country. No matter what, it can go crazy in those cities and they'll self-destruct. Why? Because you know who the God of this world is? It's Satan. Say, how you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says so. You remember when the Lord was tempted up there, the devil? It took him up to the up to the pinnacle of the mountain. He said, all these kingdoms will I give you. They must have been his. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. So I'll give them all to you. It must have been Satan's to give. Oh, but he won't always be in charge. The Lord is allowing him his time. And then the Lord one day soon, the Lord's going to step out on a cloud, might be before the day's over, and say, come up hither. We'll meet the Lord in the air. And then this world will go as crazy as it wants to. That restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, of the church, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of Christ that's in the world today, when that's gone, Katie bar the door, as we used to say out in the country. Think you got it bad now, it's going to get worse and worse. Men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Where do you stand today? Have you learned to be content? If you haven't, why not? You can. Contentment is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Our peace, our joy, our contentment is in the person of Jesus Christ. Not in religion. Religion won't bring that contentment. It says over in 1 John 5, said, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's in a man, Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ for salvation. Why not? The Bible says we're all a mess. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you think things are crazy now. You ought to see it when this church is gone. Here today and you've never trusted Christ, why don't you step out? Let him give you peace.
let him give you contentment. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never allowed yourself to learn to be content no matter what God throws your way. Learn that today. The day you learn that, the day it'll set you free, free from all your troubles and your craziness, because you have an advocate with the Father. You have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My, my, my. I'm done. Sister Eva, would you play a song on the piano? Everyone stand up. We're going to have a song of invitation. Brother Jeremiah is coming. I thank Sister Eva and Brother David for being with us today. Thank all of you for coming out. Maybe there's a need you need to address this morning. We have an altar. It's just a place of humility, nothing mystical or magical about the altar. Just a place of humility where you can get alone with God and not care who's watching or what they're seeing. Do you love him this morning? Have you learned? Have you allowed him to teach you to be content? I've learned in whatsoever state that I am in, therewith to be content. The altar's open as we sing.